Behind us now is James Ilgenfritz. The track is called Hashtag Squares. The track is called Hashtag Scare Quotes. From a release entitled Hashtag Entrainments. Or maybe it's just number scare quotes. East River Pipe did Shiny Shiny Pimp Mobile from 1999's The Gasoline Age. Thank you, Sue Braun, for reminding me about East River Pipe, a band I don't think I've thought about, Jersey band, I don't think I've thought about since the days when Andy Walzer and Marianne Seba graced these halls. Shiny Shiny Pimp Mobile, we heard Matty Pryor and Martin Carthy. I said earlier in the program that I just can't listen to other people sing where Linda Thompson could be singing. But Matty Pryor, of course, is an exception. And what a take on the great Valerio. That came from the 1994 Richard Thompson comp called Beat the Retreat. People like X, LA scene. Mitch Froom probably had something to do with it. In fact, I think he plays on it. X is in there, Bob Mould, Los Lobos, and so on. And a couple tracks from Matty Pryor and Martin Carthy. June Tabor's in there as well. Peter Walker opening that set from a great Tompkins Square comp. Well, it's called Long Lost Tapes. Josh Rosenfeld said to Peter Walker, "You got anything? Got any old tapes?" He says, "I got this gig from 1970, recorded at LeVon Helms' house. Josh goes, "Gimme." I put it out, and man, it's great. Mellow Time is the track we heard.
All right, time to go. Stay tuned for Hardy White. You know, this is Freeform Radio.
WFMU in East Orange, WMFU in Mount Hope, in New York City and Rockland County at 91.9 FM worldwide, online at WFMU.org. My name is Scott. Thank you for being here with me today. I really look forward to seeing you next week. Bye-bye.
Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, as we sit together on a park bench. It's not a park bench. It's my friend Lou. He's on all fours looking for his contact. But while he's there, let's sit on him a little bit and rest. He doesn't mind. He says it feels good for his back. It actually helps his back. Now, just don't lean back because he doesn't have a proper back. And we will be moving very slowly. Still nice to sit. I'm running around the block in the rain. How is this lucid dreaming? How is this lucid dreaming? I took a course and had to direct my dreams. They said I could learn how to fall asleep, and then when I dreamed, I could be in control so that I could live out my fantasies. If I wanted to be an astronaut, all I do is dream myself as an astronaut. Now, granted, it's not the same thing as being an astronaut because it takes all the surprises out of it because it's limited to what I think an astronaut is. So I would just be imagining myself as one, and probably my spaceship, since I don't know anything about astronaut rockets, would look like a cardboard box. And that, maybe, is something that I don't need to be asleep to experience. So this I don't know. I did not sign up for running in the rain. Now, it's not my favorite thing to do. It feels like just one of those ordinary dreams in which you think, I am dreaming. How unpleasant. And yet I can't wake up. I try screaming. I could probably really scream here. This feels like one of those dreams where you get away with quite a bit. But I don't want to be wet. I do feel wet. Now that's amazing. Now that's the lucid part. I don't mind that. I feel soaking wet, but I'm not necessarily cold. I could be. You know, you read about people that, I was wet in bed and then I dreamt I was walking in the rain, but it wasn't. It was just my urine. But you think, this can't be that, I don't think. Either that or somehow I've gotten it to precipitate onto my head. That's not my imagination. This is a dream. Now, I can tell it is because of the colors. I have used colors in my dream palette that don't exist in the real world. Like, some of it is day glow, I think. I feel like everything is being lit by black light. And that is not normal. I don't believe that there are any cities who have street lamps that are black lights. And all their businesses and all their billboards are black light posters. So at night, it's really quite intriguing. And that, what is that place? That doesn't exist. Spencerville or something. It doesn't exist in real life. But in dreams, oh, in dreams, the places we can go and the places that have signs on them that say, beware, this is going to be mentally taxing. I don't want it to be one of those where I wake up and I'm exhausted from all the conflict or all the fear or something. I have been in wars, mainly in converted motels, in many, many a dream. But here we go. Oh, I found a door. And it's a supermarket. Oh, what do I need?
Oh, it's a nightmare because I don't remember my list.
That's never a nightmare. I don't care. I don't really have any nightmares that involve the supermarket. So maybe this is one of those wonderful lucid dreams where I can get anything I need or want at this supermarket without using any money. So I'm just going to say, I own it. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hardee's, with some sort of either an exclamation point afterwards or a pound sign, or I don't know, but something unique. It's not just Hardee's. It's a little symbol that makes us say it with more enthusiasm. Are you finding everything that you need today? I would say to people. Are you finding our prices reasonable? Because I think a little of them are high. Hello, friends. Welcome to the first ever grocery store cabaret. Now, doesn't that sound like a good idea?
Not particularly.
A grocery store cabaret. I'm usually not in the mood for that kind of thing when I'm grocery shopping.
Yeah, but don't you see? You'd just be there, and you'd be pushing your cart along, and then you'd get to one of the aisles, and it would be a stage, and there would be a variety of things on the stage. Maybe somebody be juggling samples.
Oh. No.
Imagine yourself alone in a hotel convention room, one of those large rooms that you rent out for your high school prom or some kind of meeting, and this was some kind of meeting. It was a workshop, it was a seminar to learn how to control your dreams. Something I've always dreamed about wanting to control, because who doesn't want to relax? Imagine themselves, let's say, in a beautiful, peaceful spot in the middle of a lake. And then, oh, Jesus, oh, for God's sakes. What was that, hunters? All right, well, I thought I was floating in a canoe in the middle of a lake, relaxing and looking at the sky, but now I'm terrified. First of all, I don't know if a duck is going to fall on me. And that duck might represent the entire sky. Because there is a story called "The Sky is Falling, The Sky is Falling" by a little duck. And the little duck would say that. And they would say, "No, duck, you must go away now and be banished and live alone." And the duck did. And this is the basis for the TV show Grizzly Adams, which we all saw as children. Now, Grizzly Adams was a TV show in the 1970s starring, at the time we did not know, cocaine addict Dan Haggerty. And he looked just regular alert, but I suppose he's on drugs. And he would wear animal pelts, and it was taken off on being some mountain man. I don't know. I barely remember this. He lived in a cabin and up in the mountains by himself. So he was one of those solitary colonists. Is it okay to kill them? It's not clear. But he doesn't belong there in his land. But he's come there to kill animals and take their skin and fur and everything, and then pass that on and trade it for, again, I don't remember, I guess cocaine. It's not clear to me. It was called Grizzly Adams. And I guess he was killing bears, which, you know, is not something that, it's touted. It used to be touted, say, I killed a bear and everything. And then it got to be like, ew, I killed an elephant. Why did you do that? So years ago, it'd be like, I murdered a bunch of children. Oh, that's not in anymore. Well, what is it? What can you kill? Well, here's the thing. You can kill anything you want, but don't. And I explained about bringing suffering and everything like that. And whoever I was speaking to began to understand. And the wind began to blow harder. And we were frightened. We said, where is this place? And we knew we were dreaming because we had lost our identities completely. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know who to tell people I was. We were all alone and beginning all over again. Can you hear me, my friends? Yes, I can hear you vaguely in the distance. I need you. I'm calling out not from the wilderness, but right from the middle of things. And I'm invisible like Kirk was when he was moving the wrong speed in the wrong Enterprise. I can see you, but you can't see me. I'm but a buzz in the air, and you are solitary statues barely moving, and I weave between you, and I will be gone soon because I'm living my life too quickly. Oh, I wish I could slow down like my frozen shipmates on the Enterprise. And he delivered this speech right in front of us, right in the wilderness, with the wind blowing just like that, all of us alone, none of us knowing whether we were going to survive. And he was giving this speech, and he was referencing these shows and everything, and I thought, surely this is my dream, because my brain works like this. The only world I have, the only context I have, are all my memories, and they are unreliable, and they are fragments. Everything I do and think is a collage. Everything. Life is a collage. All your memories are. They're not the thing. They're not photographs. They're cut up pieces of photograph. Your dreams, they aren't complete, and yet they're the most complete thing in your perception, aren't they? Because they needn't be. You can wake up and say, "Boy, I was just at the beach," and then go looking for details in your memory, and they're might not be any. There'll just be the idea beach, and you say, how could that be? How could I just feel a thing into existence? How are you doing it now?
Well, you're giving me some clues orally.
What?
But soundily.
Soundily? Oral. Oral?
Aural.
Aural.
Oh, you know what I'm saying. You're being purposely obtuse.
With sound. I'm speaking to myself. I would never yell at you. Oh, my goodness, I didn't mean to scare you. I've done that. I was trying to teach a young person to drive not long ago, and I did not realize that the volume of my... What it had reached. It had reached a very loud volume of yelling, and I thought I was speaking very calmly. But I was speaking very calmly at a very high decibel level. It was almost as if there were a wind blowing, and that wind was confusion and fear, and it made me yell, and I became oblivious to the tone and the feelings that were spilling out of my mouth, and they were hurting another, and they made the child learner cry because of my screaming and yelling at the student driver. You are not doing it right. Do you see it? It's all context. It's what you're up against. And now, with the background noise gone, things seem more immediate, don't they? I'm right here with you, friend.
I liked it better when we were together somewhere and I was sort of not really having to
Listen to me. You don't have to concentrate directly on what I'm saying. Oh, my goodness, that's why I like to go places together with you. And that's the wonderful thing about telling stories. I thought you didn't tell stories, Hardy. Let me tell you a story about why I don't tell stories. And because I feel like they're dangerous lies. Even when you say I'm about to tell you a lie, it's a sort of manipulative one, isn't it? Say, oh, that was... What lie did you just tell me? I just told you... ordinary people with Maritown and more. How's that a lie? I don't know, man. I'm just saying that things, even if they're fiction, they can have the same effect as something that is not fiction. Therefore, you have the same culpability. So if I should tell you a story and say, well, I'm just, the characters in here are fictional, and then I rip your heart out of your chest. I destroy your feelings. I trigger all these bad things into your screaming and existential agony. And then I say, well, it was just a movie. Oh, my goodness, the places we can go just using our nervous system. Hi, I'm Hardy White. How would you like to learn some tricks to do different things with your nervous system? One, this is just an easy one, is get some nice hand lotion. It smells nice. And just rub that on there. What a treat. And then because your hands get so dry, especially some seasons and everything. And if you're like me, and I'm grabbing a lot of stones, I'm always grabbing stones, that will dry out and rough up your hands. And so, why are you grabbing stones? Well, I'm trying to make my own stone city. I have learned in the course of my life that if you're not going to do something dramatic, like be a star of your own television show, then what you have to do is do something where you are the master of time. What do you mean? So what you do is you say, instead of being a big famous person, I'm going to spend 30 years stacking little stones together into huts or something. And then at the end of that time, people go, oh my God, who would do such a thing? But the thing over time is impressive, isn't it? You go, well, that's almost as good. So the person who glues bottle caps on 32 vintage cars is sort of the moral equivalent of Mary Tyler Moore. So how can that be? She didn't do that. She was doing other stuff. But imagine that every moment of just she spent being Mary Tyler Moore, she spent gluing a bottle cap on a car, a fleet of folk art masterpieces. Because you really can't go wrong. Once you have the thing covered, it's wow, because it's the technique that is really impressive. You know, if you just do one thing like that, build a tower and don't stop, and you will get in the newspaper. That's the way to do it. Now, what if you don't want to do that? What if you don't want to be a celebrity and you don't want to stack stones or you don't want to glue things or there's other... Hey, folk art doesn't end there. You know, you can put a lot of gum on something. Like, oh, that's unintentional. That's bubble gum or chewing gum rock in Stone Mountain, Georgia. That's not a cursed place or anything. Look at that abomination. This is a place, not only they have like Confederate war criminals carved into the rock, which is like, why would you do that? Talk about graffiti. Then they got a rock that's nothing but chewing gum that's been stuck on there for hundreds of years. And then they have rock called smear your feces on there, and then you write something ignorant in it. I don't know, but that doesn't seem like a legacy I want. I go around just moving rocks around. I don't carve things in them, and I don't think they should be carved into giant heads. That's not fair to anybody. It's so scary, and a lot of times in fantasy, I think in Lord of the Rings, you say, oh, these giant statues and everything. That's frightening to people. And I believe you run the risk of accidentally making some sort of golem. Could you imagine if the Teddy Roosevelt face in Mount Rushmore went around disembodied at night, that big, stone, causing trouble? Because you had to make a likeness. I don't know. I just don't do it, and it's not for me. And you can put anybody you want up there, and that's your business, I guess. It is and it isn't. So... bless you. Oh, my goodness. I know how difficult it is to be a human being. And I know there's so many choices. One of them is wretched. So I don't, you know, I understand, kind of. But, oh, please be good to one another. And be an open heart and sugary. I say open heart sugary, I always say. Because that's a misreading of open heart surgery. But then I realized, hey, that's kind of appealing. Sugar. Nobody likes sweet. I think there's a bit of a taboo about being sweet or kind or gentle because it's equated with vulnerability, and it's also equated with insincerity. You know, you're being so phony sweet, or nobody's that nice, or not that kind of thing, or a naivete. And I don't know that's rough, isn't it? It'd be really nice if everybody was sweet and gentle. I can't think of a downside. I've thought about it. Well, you know, there would be. What would be? Because we'd all be that way. Well, that's impossible. Well, it is because of you, I guess, because you're saying that. Now we know who'd be the one who doesn't want to be sweet. I'm just saying. It does seem to be like that's a he who smelt a dealt situation. You can always, the person who chimes in for negative human nature is usually the person, I guess, who knows thyself the best. Yes, humans are capable of awful things. Well, they really are, but, you know, it's hard to dream if there's a dream stinker-upper in the way. That's why it's a good solitary thing. I dream the way, I don't have to tell anybody. that I have dreamed a world that's that beautiful or compassionate or silly. I don't have to tell a soul, and they won't tell me I'm naive or I'm dumb or I'm wrecking it. You're making it worse by trying to make it better. Oh, I don't need to hear that. I have my dreams, and I'll just bump around the world trying to not harm. I'm finding it. It's not super easy, but trying to harm on purpose, just cutting that out, it's just like cutting out. I cut out my daily cheesecake, and you'd be surprised how much weight I'm not gaining anymore. It's that kind of thing. So it doesn't solve all your problems, but it doesn't make them worse. And so am I a less angry person than I was? Yes. Yes, I am. Am I? I don't know. I'm always trying to take it out on anybody, though. That's the worst, isn't it? Take your own anger at yourself, and then you aim it out at other people. And I thought, well, let's not aim it at anybody, me or others. I'll just, well, you need anger. Yes, absolutely. It's sauce, though. It's not the main course. Don't be chugging out of the anger bottle. That's gross. Just use it to put on something. It's a means of getting somewhere. And then you move on, and you have something that doesn't have a bunch of sauce on it. But, yeah, we need things. Doesn't mean that we need a steady diet of it all the time. All our emotions are useful. Mr. Rogers taught us that. Say, hey, it's okay to be angry. Perpetually? All the time? No, I don't think he said that. And it was okay to be sad. Sad? Like always sad? Like, no, no. I guess, what's it okay to be all the time? I don't know, that's up for you to think. What's it okay to be? Just chilling, I go, or something? I don't know. Just being. It's all right to be being all the time. And there's so many ways to be. Hey, friends, I realize that no matter what age you are, you might be interested in changing careers. I've got some ideas for you. Don't. That's one. That's the easiest route. You don't have to go back to school. You don't have to research anything. You don't have to make contacts. You don't have to fill out a resume or anything. Well, how will I make money? Well, you could. It's all sorts of ways to make money. Just find some way to steal that isn't literally stealing, and then there you go. And I think that's how you do it. Well, what do you mean, Hardy? Well, you know, so many of my successful friends feel imposter syndrome. So if you feel like that, you know, being compensated is stealing, then just go ahead and think that. And then clearly they're not prosecuting for getting really high salaries for some things. So don't worry about it. And go ahead and steal all you want like that. That's what I say. Now, the other kind where you the one that you think maybe they'd come after you for, don't do those. Don't pull all the copper pipes out of somebody's house or their copper teeth. I'm glad I don't have copper teeth. I wouldn't take a nap anywhere. What are gold teeth? Dang, I don't have gold teeth either. Or platinum anything? I'm trying to think now. I was thinking of having a toe that was made of something very valuable. Like what? I don't know, maybe tanzanite? Is that real? I don't know. I don't know either. A diamond toe? That'd be fun. I wouldn't want to go to one of those places that has a glass floor that's very high up, an observatory thing, like the CN Tower or something, and then I'm out there, I slip off my shoes, I've got my diamond toe, and accidentally cut a big hole in the glass, and somebody falls. I don't know who it was. Bless their heart, I'm sorry. That could happen. So you gotta be so careful and look out for one another. I'm listening to the radio right now, the old-fashioned way where somebody would sit there and tell me the weather right now. What is it? Oh, look to the sky. It looks like there's some clouds, partly cloudy. It is partly cloudy. What is the traffic? Traffic right now? It's the way it always is, way it always is, way it always will be.
What about the news? You don't want to know. You don't want to know what's going on right now. Let me take you somewhere else. Let me take you inside. I think it's time to play inside. What do you mean by that? Inside your head and your dreams. Let's go together. I would like to give you the ancient secrets that have been revealed to me by the long dead masters and mistresses. What is that? Could that be right? It is, I don't know, of this ancient school of knowledge that will teach you how to control your dreams. First of all, you're going to need a couple things. One is pajamas or pajamas. Now, the pajamas are not for what you think they are. Aren't they for sleeping in? Not necessarily. The pajamas are, you're going to put those on at different times of the day as you do different things. So you might, let's say, I'm going to hit what's your local grocery store? Publix, Kroger, one of those? No. Save Life, Pick and Save It, Pick and Wipe. Go in Pick and Wipe. Go in your jammies. Go in the pajamas. Why is that? Now, we're trying to condition the brain to get very confused about what's reality and what's not reality. So also you're going to be going nude to a school. Now, that might be problematic because a lot of times in the dream, no one is there calling the police. But that is probably a scenario that's going to happen in the real life exercise when I take you to a local school naked and I ask you to walk in there with your book saying, I'm not ready for the test. Then they probably come and get you. But maybe we could speed off quickly before that. There's a bunch of other things we're going to do that makes you, I'm going to push you off of a building. And then when you're dreaming, see, you'll just have one mode of behavior for waking life and dreaming life, and they won't get confused, and then you can control them. Explore your fantasies. I personally don't have any. I find it very difficult to concentrate on things that I want, and so I really go, what are your fantasies? Are you embarrassed? Or no, I would tell you anything and everything. I just don't, there's nothing there. The things I imagine are not things I imagine, are not rational things. So I don't even know what to tell you. I don't know what that means. A lot of times the things, I'm not in the things I imagine. You know, so if there's like a planet blowing up, I'm probably not in that one. If I had a TV series, I wouldn't be in them all. And be called The Hardy White Show and go, he's not in them all. I know, isn't that funny? That's part of it. That's part of the thing. Is The Hardy White, I'm going to pitch that. Should I be on? Hey, I think I should be on television. There's people that say that. I don't think that. And now that I know myself better, I think, no. Now I know I shouldn't be on radio, but it's too late. So I've kind of went all in. Whatever. We got here. And what do you say? What do you mean you shouldn't be on radio? What does that mean? I just mean this. I mean sometimes what we want might be a distraction from what we need. What do you mean? Well, let's say that maybe you're sharing something that you don't have enough of to share. And that's why I feel like a lot. And it's not that I'm trying to hoard. I'm just, sometimes I think, you know, I need my jokes. You know, I need my jokes. And here I am. And I'm giving a lot of them away. And what else do I need? I need my sort of idle speculation. I need my philosophical. People say they're ramblings. I don't. If they're ramblings, why do I have all these diagrams? If they're ramblings, why can't I prove them mathematically? I might be able to. I hate selling myself short like that. I've always been taught to believe in myself by people who believe in fairies and gods. And so I thought, well, I guess that means lower the standards for what is real. And I believe in myself over the objections of reality because, hey, you know, who's going to come and audit my thoughts if I don't let them in? Yes. I'm here to inspect your internal life. No, thank you. You're going to need to leave. I'm going to be as hostile to you as an uninformed person would be, rural probably, to a census worker. We'll have none of your kind, one of you Jaspers. Be gone. So that's the way I feel. And then I can, in my mind. Now, I do let things in unaccompanied, ideas and everything. I want to change and learn. My brain is not sealed off. There's just some things. What's a good analogy? There's a screen door or something, so the fresh air comes in, but not flies. Like a pet door? A pet door that's just the size of beneficial ideas, but it keeps out all the intruding thoughts like your opinion. My opinion. I know, not you. Not you. Oh, my God. We're good. I love and appreciate you. You, I mean. Yeah, you. I'm just a person. Please, be gentle. No. I think, you know, if I was being, I can't even imagine. I'm treated so wonderfully. I really am. For somebody on, a lot of times, you know, you see people that maybe speak on television or radio. They might have people, oh, I hate that one. Well, no one ever bothers to tell me that. It's wonderful. Thank you so much. But I think it's the lack of compensation. I think, well, you know, I mean, it is free. Right. It's free. No one's getting paid. So really what damage is being done? And nothing is expected, perhaps. And isn't that great? So it's like, I listen to me, it's like just going through a garbage pile or something like that. You might find something cool. But nobody promises you, oh, you got to go to the garbage pile. You're going to get rich. No, you know, it's your choice. You pick through it. You might find something you need. One man's treasure. It's another one's not treasure. Can you imagine that, spending your life? You got a treasure map. You go to the ends of the world. You rent a boat. You get off the boat. You get on the island. You dig it up. You get there's a treasure chest. You open it up. And it's an old meat grinder or something. Just what you wanted. I would have dreams of acquiring antiques for a period of my life. This is the worst. Isn't that the worst? Just there's nothing more like materialistic, but also bourgeois, than to imagine like, look at this old phonograph that I found or something like that. That's what was going on. Look at this music box. And I would have dreams like that, and I would be getting these things. I guess they would be in an attic. I bought this house, and I had no idea. But look, it's an antique treasure trove. And then you'd wake up, and you go, oh, none of those things are mine. But who cares, really? Those sort of dreams interest me for a while. I thought, why don't I used to have them? I don't have many more, I think for obvious reasons. That's not that doesn't excite me as much. But they told me something, maybe, about the feeling of having or owning and that feeling afterwards of that thing that I love not being there anymore, as opposed to a person. And it got me thinking. And those are the things I think about when people are speaking to me instead of their words. So that's okay, though, isn't it? Oh, bless you. I do so much better here than in conversation. I'm glad you think this is something. Oh, have you heard this guy? Ugh. Well, wait. You're lucky you're not sitting next to me somewhere. Imagine what my friends go through. Can you imagine being Hardy White's, having to hang out with Hardy White? You know, constantly, you know, you want any more snacks? I made some snacks. You want any more? I cut up some apple. And then I squeeze some lemon juice on the apple slices so that it won't brown. Like that, I say it, and everybody is happy. But that would be terrible. We'd have fun, though, I imagine. I do very ordinary things that I find enjoyable. My biggest turn-on is not having responsibility. That is... ooh, it feels so good. It, to me, it's like running naked in a field. It's like, do you need me for anything? No. Ah! La, 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 la. It feels real nice. If I just sit here, will I be arrested? No. Ah! Is there food? Yeah. Oh, I'm not leaving.
My dog has gotten very old, and bless his heart, his name is Orwell, and he's a beagle, and he's got a very pointy nose. He's all beagle, but he's just, he would never win any beagle shows or anything. And he's never been taught to do anything usefully beagle-ish. But he used to be playful when he was younger. He used to like to play and hang out and be petted or something. And now he is in his senescence. And he's getting around pretty well. He's got over a paralysis. He had wiped out on the ice and lost control of his back legs and got him back. He went through therapy in a hyperbaric chamber to get the feeling back and everything. And I don't know if he could feel him, but he can walk and everything. It's pretty amazing. But he's very old and he's kind of cranky. And he just is interested in food and water. Nothing else. Nothing else, really. Sleep and warmth, I think. And that's it. He's kind of good name. I mean, you know, he'll look at you like, is there food? But that's it. That's what we're down to. It's just those pleasures. And you old dog. I relate. Look at your cloudy little eyes. Looks like somebody's put milk in blueberry juice. And you're looking up at me all hazy. And you're going, I smell bacon. I go, there's no bacon, buddy. I don't know what you smell, but it's my cologne, I guess. It's Tom Ford sizzling butt or something like that it's called. And it does have a bacon. It does smell like bacon. I made that up. That isn't it. Tom Ford's going to call me. How did you get some sizzling butt? It's not out yet. I got connections. Oh, and you know I like fragrances. You know I like nice smells and intriguing ones. Oh, and we can have those when we cook. And when we cook the things that you've grown. That'd be so nice when I come to your house. I don't care. No, I don't really want to play Frisbee. But I will sit, I'll sit here and watch you. How about that? And I'm going to take you up on that cherry soda that you were talking about, though. And you go off. Why don't you go off and do things? And I will sit here and I'm going to be on my phone. But not in a rude way. I'm just probably use it to watch old television shows. Why are you doing that when there's such beautiful scenery here out in the country? I know, but I like that sometimes for me, it's the juxtaposition. You know that. What is poetry? It's contrast. So a poem is something like, I remember the late Pittsburgh poet Gerald Stern. And I was going to a reading of his a long time ago. And he read a poem, and it started out funny, and it ended tragically. And my friends and I always called this structure, and I don't mean any disrespect by this. This is literally what was in the poem, but we called it Fart Fart Holocaust, which is that you the funny, absurd realness of life. And then you finish with a tragedy that cannot be explained or understood, and an unspeakable horror. And we thought, well, that's poetry right there. Like it, whether you like it or don't like it, there you go. You shove things together, and by taking two different things, you use them as lenses to see a third thing. And that third thing could be a big wad of garbage or could be something enlightening. You don't know. But we don't blame poetry always, do we? Yes. We don't blame the technique. It's what you use it for, like a song. A wonderful song can be an annoying earworm, or it can be something that you have played at your funeral, and it could be the same thing. Oh, that's the ultimate revenge, is you just sit there, spend the last few years of your life thinking about how can I torture my survivors with a mere melody, just something that's going to never, ever get out of their head, and they're going to be singing it in their sleep, and there you go. I don't know if that's, does that feel hostile? Does that,
I don't want to do something like that. I want my legacy to be more gentle. Oh, we'll be listening to you when you're long gone, Hardy. Are you sure? I don't know about long gone. You might be listening to me when I'm just gone. I imagine right after I'm gone, there'll be an intense spike of listening, and then it'll probably just die off very gradually. Unless they make some weird fictional version of my life and I get briefly popular again, and then it fades off again. But oh, those are posthumous. That doesn't give me any excitement. You don't get invited to a lot of parties posthumously. And I'm looking to get the good table at a restaurant. And that's mainly for the living. And so you want to be well known probably during your lifetime. There's nothing wrong with that. Oh, cash in on that. I know a lot of you are sleeping on your talents and saying, oh, nobody wants to see a 68-year-old tap dance. Well, I don't know. It depends. You know, it depends. I think somebody would give you money. Maybe once. But we'll see. We'll see. I'm going to start a talent agency. And it's going to work like this. I sign you up. I come to you. And then we figure out what your talent is. And then we get you work. That seems like a lot of work. We're not going to teach you anything. Well, what if I don't have a talent? Everyone has something that someone can be tricked into thinking is a talent. So I think that's true. Don't underestimate your ability to fool other people effortlessly. So I don't want to be a charlatan. You probably won't be. You'll just imagine yourself one. I'm trying to get rid of this in my friends. I don't want them to all think they're entitled, but goodness, the opposite side of the coin isn't I'm a fraud. My word. No, 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 no. Isn't there some sort of happy middle between I am your king and, I am worth nothing? The rabbis say to keep this thought in your head pocket at the same time. The world was created for my sake. I am but dust and ashes. And how do you reconcile those two things? Well, the people, whoever created the world, has very low standards, evidently. If it was created for your sake and you're just dust and ashes. I guess dust and ashes is something a little different here than I'm used to, because I thought that was something lowly. But in this world, apparently, that's the reason for being. So dust and ashes, big deal here. Also, my favorite 50s film. Is it? I don't know if that is a real thing, but I like to think so. You are beautiful. Do you need to hear it? Not physically. Not necessarily physically. Emotionally, spiritually? Not necessarily. I don't know. I'm just saying. Listen, it doesn't hurt to hear it. It doesn't have to be true. And you can just say it to yourself. You are alone the most beautiful person in the room. Nobody can top that. So, and it's not a competition. And you should get, because no one really is winning. And looks, what are they? What is beauty? It's so fleeting. Oh, my goodness. It really is. Really, go out and smash a flower right now. And you'll see. It doesn't take much and doesn't take long. Oh, what is important then and what is lasting? I'm showing you right now. I'm showing you what is lasting. But you're not doing anything. There's no pattern to it. Isn't the pattern lasting? Isn't there something that's permanent? Hardy, can't you tell me anything? What about your show? What's it about? Why are you speaking? Why do they keep letting you? If it's not really going anywhere, it's not about anything. I don't understand. Well, I'll tell you something. Because it is, in its way, in its lack of profundity, profound. How's that? I think what we need sometimes is permission to be reckless. There is such a control and such a fear of being seen as incompetent, being seen as corny, as being seen as naive, not good at something like that, you know, and or guessing wrong or outside the mainstream or making bad shows. Just, that stuff just isn't funny or something like that. Or that's not. There's all this pressure. It makes you not want to do things. It makes you not want to make anything. But I'm telling you, you can be so much sloppier than you have been told. You are capable of coloring outside of the lines, and you should. You should color so far outside of the lines you can't see the line. Take the line, tear it up. First of all, just tear up the coloring book. Oh, what have we done? Tape the coloring book back together. This is going to look good, though. Tape it back together. Now color outside the lines, tear it up again. This time tape it back together with your eyes closed. And there you have something beautiful. And that is something that we discourage people from doing. And you'll see that. I remember when I was a little kid and I was doing art in, maybe I was first grade, second grade, something like that. We were making something and I spilled some glue on my drawing. And I was very kind of upset about it at first. And then I started like wiping it and smearing it. And it started blending in with the chalk or something. And I was making this gluey, colorful thing. And I smeared it all over the paper. And I was like, oh my gosh, my art isn't ruined. It actually looks really cool now. And I showed it to the teacher. And the teacher said, that's not what you were told to do. It's ruined. And I thought, oh my gosh, I guess art has nothing to do with my perception. Now, I'm not one that says, you know, disregard all rules or, you know, everything is great or everything works or it's all, if the artist thinks it's great, it is or something like that. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that it's very strange how much invention is discouraged. Like, even if it wasn't great, wouldn't you tell the little kid, hey, that's certainly one way of, you know, avoiding the L here. You know, you had a spill. You made the best of it. It's kind of a, you know, you got peanut butter in my chocolate situation. I mean, that's not genius to everybody. Some people would go, oh, that sounds repulsive. But to others, it's like, oh, no, it's candy genius. Maybe it isn't candy genius. So that's the thing. It's the invention. It's messing up. I want to be known as somebody who just messed up or something. No, that's not it. What is it? I want to be, what did Hardy White do? Whatever he wanted. No, that doesn't sound right, dude. That's not where I'm coming from. I guess, what did Hardy White do? Didn't plan. No, I plan sometimes. I think sometimes. Sometimes I don't think. That's the thing. You know, I'm always thinking about talking to you, and I'm always thinking about what it means to communicate with somebody, and none of this is compartmentalized for me. The Miracle Nutrition Show never ceases. It is my ongoing exploration of communication. So even when it's terrible and somebody said, boy, I heard this thing and it wasn't good, and even that counts. It all counts. It's all part of it. I mean, I saw this this Mary Tyler Moore documentary, and I know you've mentioned her a couple times. Well, I didn't know it was coming out, and I had been just watching a lot of her work anyway, so I think that's kind of remarkable. Then it came out, and it filled in a lot of blanks in her life for me. And I thought, oh goodness, you know, life is hard, as the eels say. And it was something to think about. And I saw, did I see parallels in my own life? I saw parallels. Yes, it was just about scale. I have disappointments, nothing on the scale that she had. I've had losses, but nothing on the scale of the losses that she experienced in her life of 80 years. So that was all very enlightening to me. Things come with all sorts of extras that we're unaware of. And it's sometimes so invisible And when we meet one another, we don't really know who we're meeting. We meet everybody at that's just a cross section, you know, of this long thing that's their life. We're seeing a slice. It's impossible to tell completely where they were and where they're going. And even if it's when it's wrapped up, you go, I don't really know what just happened. I still just saw little slices of it. So when I see Mary Tyler Moore's life, it's like, here's a slice from the beginning, slice from the middle, slice from the whole loaf will never, ever be available to me. I will never perceive it. Oh, the entire loaf, the big time loaf, the big Taylor time ham, as I've said before, of your life. And we're just frying up little bits of it. Oh, I'm glad we're doing it together.
Are you?
I am.
Are you?
I am. That's a little song I'm working on, and I'm calling it Elmer Doodoo because it was sounding really pretty, and I was like, well, I got to throw something in there. And I thought, I will create a character named Elmer Doodoo. And here's what I imagine about him. Nothing. Nothing yet. Completely blank slate. When I was a child, they had these books called the Nothing Book, and there was nothing in them. And I thought, wow, that's either a brilliant idea or this is the end of everything. Can you imagine? We've become so lazy. Because they were starting to do those kind of serve-yourself restaurants. So we don't, you know, and soon it will not be a restaurant. You're moving everything. So it's a book. It's a book, but you put the words in. Same with the restaurant. It's restaurant. And there was one in my neighborhood where you cooked the food even. It burned down. What a surprise. But it was an indoor barbecue place. And they would give you the raw steak and you go over and you cook it. And I said it burned down. After hours, though. So, that tells you something. But that cuts out everybody. What if it's just bring your own steaks? That's just called the park. And just charge people to be there. That's called taxes. So maybe we already have that. I don't know. But I like a little bit of things to be done for me. I don't want everything to have to be. And that's why radio, people say, I would listen to your show, Hardy, but I personally, you make me do so much work. I would like more done for me, like a lot of these podcasts about somebody being murdered or fun stuff. And they have little sound effects or they'll explain things, you know, and we couldn't get hold of Mr. Rogers, and so we called this fellow, and everything like that, and they blah, blah, blah. And that's interesting to us. Why don't you do that? Well, because you have that. So I'm doing something a little bit different as a way of not doing that, or doing something with less effort. Now explain that. This is a very easy concept for me. And I was just at a party the other day, and I was talking to friends, and a lot of them artists, some of them professional, some of them would like to be professional, but they have to supplement their music or art career or something with a 9-to-5-er. And so all those kind of different people, and they were all different places in that career. So we're talking about doing things and making things and the reason for doing them and all that kind of thing. And, you know, and the amount of effort vis-a-vis the outcome, what you get, what you put in and what you get. And I know a lot of people put a lot of effort into things they know not a lot of people are going to see. Hopefully their expectations are not there or anything. But I say, gosh, I couldn't do that. I think if I put, you know, if I spent a long time doing a thing, I'd want a lot of people to see it. And if they didn't, I'd be disappointed. So is there anything else you can do? And then I was trying to explain, and because I'm a proponent of doing things half, my British friends would say half arsed, but with half of your arse. And which half, that's up to you. I thought that confused me ordering half a toppings on pizza one time. It's like, it's left or right? Because like, well, just half and the other half. I don't know, whatever you want to call them. A and B. So it doesn't have to be left and right. I know they move around. So the same with your buttocks, whatever half of it you're going to use to do the thing. But not everything has to be 100% effort. This, and we used to do that all the time on the, play music on the porch or something. And it was always low expectations for how it was going to sound or anything. Nobody was there hearing it. And there's all sorts of art that you can make that not everybody has to see it, or it doesn't have to be sold, or you can sell. I like to take children's art and then try to sell it without them knowing. And a lot of times they'll just throw it away. Parents will just throw it away. Years of children's art, and really all it needs to be is matted, and then somebody will pay money for it. A lot of it's good. And then you just have to say an animal did it. That's why a lot of, I'll take your four-year-old's, five-year-old's drawing, okay? I crop the name off. I say my monkey or my raccoon or something did it. And I get a little bit of money. I get a little bit of money. You gotta attach a Polaroid of the animal. But the animal doesn't have to be in the middle of painting. They can be do something else. People aren't gonna say anything. So the one the dog did, I just had the dog sitting there and they were like, oh, that's the dog that did it. And I went, yeah, that's the artist. $15. It goes to dog food. That's not a lie. So that's not a lie. And that's a way to make art. I don't mind. Selling art's great. Even like I said, this isn't stolen art, you know, because once something hits the dumpster, that's fair game, I think. Isn't it? A lot of what I say is just fooling. You know that. You know, I know that car trips are long. Listen, you got to get through the city. I know you're driving in. If you're driving in New York or New Jersey right now, I understand. Boy, I love you so much. I just want to embrace you. I'm trying to just kill the time for you. Wouldn't a song be better? Oh, come on. You hear that all the time. Especially if you're driving Uber or something. Don't you want to, isn't it slightly more satisfying and passive aggressive to have me on like that really kind of quite loudly? And so they're like, and people will be begging for Creedence or something. You go, no, I will continue to play Hardy White. Because I enjoy the sound of his voice, and he inspires me. Oh, thank you. Yes, he gives me courage that it's okay to have an open heart and to be kind and to desire that and to be a proponent of love and to think that human beings can be better and more thoughtful and compassionate, and that it's fear that's the enemy. Oh, fear. I fear it itself. So I thank you for having me on as you drive or as you cook, because there's nobody who is beaming good thoughts or hopes for you than me. There's nobody who's beaming more good thoughts. Did I say that correctly? Sometimes if I take a dramatic pause, my grammar suffers. Does she? Yeah. Go, Dad, stop. You know I meant grammar, not Grammy. She doesn't care about grammar. She's from New Jersey. I love you so much, friend. And what are you doing? What am I doing? You are listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County. And New York City, New York, online, WFMU.org, worldwide, freeform radio. Can you imagine that? You never know what you're going to get. They didn't have, back in the day, I would have spoken for a few seconds and then played the popular record by the Shoes or something like that. But now,
He's like, I don't even know. And he's not interviewing anybody. I love this. This is why we love WFMU. I just, there's nobody like you.
Because it's not a thing. It isn't, nobody would do it. Why would any other radio station have this? It doesn't make any sense. It only is, for me, it seems like only, it's contextual. And so it just, we belong together, Hardy White and WFMU, because we have similar sensibilitiesness. And I love that. It's a lack of sensibilities or something like that. And we both are wonderfully, equally deficient that way. Yet I think that's a wonderful way to be. You adventure like that. We're the people that, that swim the English Channel nude with weights around our waist instead of the whatever the conventional way is. And you say, well, it'd be faster and easier, and you wouldn't all sink and die, but that's half the fun. Oh, thank you so much for being with me, and I'll see you again next week.
Nice evening to go for a drive. Thank you. It's an ever-changing world. I'm gonna love you just the same. Changing world. I'm gonna find some happiness just the same. Got something good for you, baby. And it's better than playing any game. Look, there they are again!